Begin the current daven says the shkalim daven zayin. We begin on the bottom of vavam beis, the bottom line on the yamid, where the gemara continues discussing the mishnah of the previous daf. And as we learned about the meisaris, the excess of different things. So one of them was meisur nazar l'nedava, the excess of the what was designated for the purposes of the nazar are brought for a nedava, and that is they're put into those boxes that are designated for the ketz mizbech. When the mizbech has nothing being brought, they bring eilis from those nedava boxes. So now the gemara has a machlekes. How to define the criteria of this halacha. And that Rav Chizda says, we're getting to the top of Zayinim and Alf, Amar, he says, this halacha applies only if the last of the karbanas that the Nazar brings, who brings many different karbanas, if the last one that he's bringing and that he brought was a karban chatas, that is where we say the halacha that since he brings a chatas and oil in the shlam, if the last one was a karban chatas, then it has the status as what was mentioned in the Mishnah of Meisr chatas, the excess of a karban chatas, where there we said that the meisr is going to be a nedava, and therefore we say the halacha by the noise of a nazar is a nedava. Avli karvu shlam b'sayif. However, the last karban nazar ends up bringing is not the karban chatas, rather one of his other karbanas, karban shlamim, then meisr and shlam, then the excess will be as a meisr of a karban shlam, which this is the leftover from the last thing he brings, which is shlam. Therefore, as the halacha is by shlam, the meisr, the excess will be a karban shlam. Amar b'zeir b'zeir agiz min b'chizim. And he says, even if the last one he brings is not the chatas, but rather the carbon shlamim, still, since all of them are carbonis of the nazir, halacha achasi b'nazir. It's one halacha l'mayishu mi-sinai that was said regarding the carbonis of nazir. Shatiyah ma'isra nedava, that the excess of the carbonis of a nazir, not only if the last one is the carbon chatas, which the ma'isra of a chatas nedava, but even the last one is shlamim, the ma'isra will be nedava. So that the Gemara says, masnita misayay ladin. We have one brisa supporting Rav Chizda, and one brisa supporting Rav Zeira, as the Gemara explains. Masnita misayil b'zeira, we have a brisa supporting Rav Zeira, who he said that it will always be the excess of a nazir, will always be nedava, even if the last one is a shlamim, not a karma chatas, because the brisa says, elu hein ma'is tumen. These are the unspecified monies of a nazir, who then the owner of these monies, who is a nazir, he died. And that is, there's many different items that have to be purchased with the money that the nazir sets aside for this carbon and that carbon and chatas and shlamim and all the different things he has to do. Now, he had all the money that he set aside, but it's unspecified. It wasn't clear which monies were for what. And then the halacha is, kol shedimei chatas, and the Girsa takes out the word from the Goyen Mises, kol shedimei chatas mu'uravis behem. Wherever you have the monies of chatas mixed in with them, where this halacha is also has one of the karbanas that the nazir has to bring as a karma chatas, then halacha is afila hifrish demei chatas meitecha. Then even if the monies that he needed to bring a karma chatas from were already separated from the general monies that he had when he was still alive, still the halacha would be ma'i stumenhein, that it has the halacha of undesignated monies, and therefore all the monies will go l'nedava. So what you see from here is like Rabbi Zeira, that even though he already set aside from all those monies, he separated the damim that had to be brought a karma chatas with them. However, since it had at one point the monies of chatas mixed with them, because that's one of the karbanas another has nazir has to bring, therefore that is how the halacha al Meisr b'Sinai was mekubal, that the excess monies of a nazir should be nedava in all situations, even if these are not the excess of the karma chatas. Because and that's what we find in that case where the chatas is already separated. So here also, like in Reb Zeira's case, that even if the last one being brought is a karban shlamim, but since and which means that the monies of the chatas were already separated, however, it would still be the meisr would still be brought as nedava since the monies of the chatas were mixed in at one point, because that's the halacha, and therefore in that case the monies would be thrown to Yam HaMelech. You won't have a nod. There's no meila, and that's like Reb Zeira who says that the halacha will always be as if it's with the chatas. So even if it was separated, which is the brayis over there, or in this case, where the last one is the shlamim, we view it as if it's a meisr of a chatas, and therefore it's going to be for nedava. Then, masnid misayil Rav Chizda, we have a brayis supporting Rav Chizda that it depends if the last one is the chatas or if the last one is the shlamim. The brayis says, if someone says, elu l'chatasi, he says, I want these monies to be for my karma chatas. V'hashar l'shar nizirais. I want the rest to be for the rest of the things I have to bring for my nizirais. Umeis, and then he dies. So halacha is, moilin b'kulan. He has committed me'ila if he goes and misappropriates all those monies. However, he does not commit me'ila if he only misappropriates some of them. And the reason is because from all those rest of those monies, maybe that which he's going to be using, if he doesn't misappropriate all of it, will be the money of the shlamim. And there is no me'ila by shlamim. So therefore, however, if you use everything, then the other ones are definitely included. And then you're doing me'ila in the other things. But if you're only doing a little bit, then it might be the shlamim. And therefore, you're not going to go ahead and bring the karbanos for the me'ila. Now, v'loy amar, the Brisa doesn't say, it mays that if he dies, yipla nedava, that all of it goes to nedava. And therefore we see that if the monies of the chatas were separated, which is what that case of the Brisa is talking about, and you're left over with the monies of the shlamim and all these other ones, or in the case of that they're arguing about, if the last monies are the shlamim, that the excess is going to be brought as a shlamim, like Rav Chisda, and not as an oila, as Rav Zeris says, that then there would be me'ila. We find, as according to Rav Chisda, that when the chatas is not inside of it, then we don't say that it's yipul and nadava. Rather, it's going to have a locha like a shlam, and in the case of the shlam being the last one, would be brought as a shlam. And similarly, in the case of the brisa, that one will not commit me'ila in only part of it, because maybe it's going to be the shlamim, and we view it without the status of the chatas, as if designating it as entirety of the chatas, even when it's not inside of it, and therefore it will not. We didn't say in the brisa that yipul and nadava. Now the Gemara continues on the lachas of Nazir. Rav Chisda Amar, Meisr lach mishal Nazir, the excess of the breads that the Nazir brings, Yurkav, they should decompose. So Amar B'Yasi, B'Yos, very right. And it makes sense that it has to decompose, there's nothing else you can do with those breads. Because like Kriva Bifnei Atzma, to bring it as its own carbon, inat yachal, you can't. Shein l'chol lechem karv l'atzma, we never find where the carbon itself will be the bread. It could be a tafel, it could be a subsidiary, it could be some type of a component, but it can't be its own carbon. And moreover, la'akrivim nazir sacher is to bring it with another carbon nazir. Inat yachal, you can't do that either. Shein l'chol nazir is babalei lechem. There is no oath of nazir that's taken upon a person that can come without its own breads. And that is when you accept upon yourself naziris, you're already obligated in the karbanos and the own breads, and therefore, well, you can't bring other breads for someone else's naziris. And therefore, what you have to say, tzarech meimer, is mut meisel lach mishal nazir yurkav. So you have to say you're not left with anything else but to have the breads decomposed. So sovereign meimer, so the bnei ha-yeshiva, they thought to say that hulach mayhu meisel nechtzachav, the same halacha that applies to the breads would apply to the leftovers of the nesachim, of the libations of the nazir, that they both should be yurkav, they should decompose. However, Amar Reisi Bar Abayin, meisel nechtzachav is different. The excess of his libations is not the same as we said with the bread. Rather, kachay kachim, and they are kachay kachim, and therefore v'yipul in nadava, like we find by other kachay kachim, like by chatas, where the excess is bread as nadava, and it's not going to be yurkav, it's not going to decompose. So the Gemara says that al daite de b'yisi berabayin, that he said that in the name of Reb Chisda, that the excess of the nesachim will not be the same as the bread, but rather it will fall to nadava, since it's kachay kachim. He says that we have the following three, Shmuel, and the Gersa takes it Alibada, rather it says Shmuel, Rav Chisda, we take out the words B'mois Nesachem and Chisda, and V'Reb Elazar. So basically the way it's read is that Shmuel, Rav Chisda, and V'Reb Elazar, Shloshin Amr Dov Echad, comes out that these three say the same idea, essentially that something that's Kachi Kachim, the Mois, the excess, will be brought as Nadava. So the Gersa has changed from Rav Chisda to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is a hadamar. It's this that we said before that Rav Chisda holds that meiser of the lechem, only the excess of the breads of the nazir is where we said yurkav. But the excess of his nesachim, we said that since that's kachi kachim, that will be yipol lenadava. So we have him saying that. Shmuel, we find by Shmuel, the Rabbi Yisi, because as Rabbi Yisi had said, that ada no tamon, while I was still there in Bavel, shamat kal Rabbi Yehuda shalishmuel, I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, Hifrishik levimeis, what's the halacha if someone designated, separated his chatz machtza shekel, and then he died? Samalei said to him, yipla nadava, it shall fall from nadava. That's the same idea. Shkolim are being brought for kachay kachim. They're being brought for the carbon tamed and all these things that are carbon oil. They are kachay kachim. Therefore, we find that again, kachay kachim, the meiser, is yipla nadava. And finally, the third one, Rabbi Lazar, and that the Gersa is the itma that we learned, meiser asiras ha'efeshle. What's the halacha with the excess of the tenth of the Eifa of the Kohen Gadol? So Rabbi Yechna, we mentioned on the previous daf, Rabbi Yechna Amar, Yilichim LeYam HaMelech, you throw it to Yam HaMelech, whereas Rabbi Laza Omer, he says, Yipul Nadava, that it falls to Nadava, and that's because the Menaches are Kachi Kachim, where it says regarding in general, Asir Se'efa, it says that it's a Chatas. So therefore it has the status of a kachet kachim, and therefore the meisah will be nedava. That's what we find by all these three, that the meisah of kachet kachim will be yiplu l'nedava. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, halacha hey, that also continues on this theme of meisaris, of excess. Meisah shavuyim, the excess with the leftovers that was collected to release captives. L'shavuyim, so goes for that collection for future captives. Meisah shavuy, the excess of that was collected for a certain individual captive, Laisa Shava is given for that captive. Maisra Niyim, if there's leftover collecting for poor people in general. So then Laniyim, it's leftover for poor people in general. Maisra Ani, if there is excess from collecting for a certain poor individual, then Laisa Ani goes to that poor person. Maisra HaMesim, the excess of that was for the purposes of the dead. LaMesim, it goes for the purposes of helping out, of assisting the dead. Maisra HaMes, if there's excess that was collected for a certain one dead individual. So then we have Machlekes. First opinion says liyosha. You give it to his inheritors. They get it. Remeyoimer, he says, Meisra Meis, the excess of a dead person, Yehimunach Atshayav Eliyahu, it should be left until Eliyahu Nabi comes. The third opinion, Reb Nosanimer, he says, Meisra Meis, the excess that was collected for a dead person, for a corpse, Boin Eloi Nefesh Al-Kivri, you build a monument for him on top of his grave. Now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Gavulai, if they collected for a dead person, Becheska She'ein Lai, with the assumption that he had nothing. They thought he had no money. V'nimtza sheyesh lo, and it comes out that he does have. On that, Rabbi Yirmiyah Savimei, Rabbi Yirmiyah thought to say, to resolve it from our Mishnah, where in our Mishnah it said, Meisah meis liyosha, the excess of a dead person is for inheritors. So here also, the excess of the dead, because we thought he didn't have, we collected from now, this is extra, it should go to his inheritors. Amli Rav Idi, the Chutra of Idi, from the place of Chutra, he told him, Haga Atzmacha, which literally means grab a hold of yourself. But what he's trying to say is, if you look into this, and you'll see that you can't compare our Mishnah to the case we're discussing. Dele Kavlin Elalei, because they only intended for him, and that is the people that were giving money for this dead person. They didn't collect for the Yershim, for the inheritors, they were collecting for him. Now, since he had, and there was no monies that were taken at all from the collection for the dead person because they had enough for what they needed for his needs. And now the inheritors are going to take everything. They didn't, for that purpose, they didn't collect the monies and donate the monies. And that is when our Mishnah said that Moisah Meisliyosh, the excess of the dead person, goes to inheritors. That's where there was leftovers of the money that they donated after they used all they needed for the Tzrachim of the Mass. So we assume that those who are donating, that's their intention when they donate initially, that if there's going to be leftover, they give it to the inheritors, because you can't be exact how much the needs of the mess are. So leftovers will go to the Yarshim. However, here, where it's not going at all to the mess, that was never their intention to give it to the inheritors. So Amalei, so he responded to him. He says, Anolai Amaris, I didn't say with a definitive point that would be the halacha, but Atmanolach, but we didn't know for sure the other way around, that it's not the same as our Mishnah, that it would for sure not go to the inheritors. How do you know that? Now, related to what our Mishnah was discussing, Tani B'Shem Reb Nassan, we learned, a b'raisa, name of Reb Nassan, Meiser HaMes, regarding the excess of a dead person, so Yivna Loi Nefesh Al Kivri, as was mentioned in our Mishnah, that Reb Nassan says, that you should build a monument for him on top of his grave. Now, the Ye'asa Loi Zilav Agab Mitase, and another thing that you should do is, with this excess money, is that you pour some wine for a good smell on top of his beer, that regarding the corpse that has a bad smell, that it should smell good. So either you're going to build some type of monument or a building which is a commemoration for his soul. Through that, people are going to remember him, and that's an honor for the mess. Or, and more, and also that what one would do with the excess of the money is to pour, to do ziluf on top of the bed of where the dead person is. Also relating to our Mishnah, Tani we learned in Abraisa, in Paiden Shavu B'Shavu, that we spoke about in our Mishnah, the redeeming of the captives, you can't go ahead and use money that was collected for one captive to use it for a different captive. Being given talis betalis, you can't use money that was collected for one person's clothing to use for another person's clothing. However, we don't protest regarding the leaders of the community if they decide to do that and switch the monies. We don't protest. Also related to our Mishnah, Tani, we learn the Braisa. Although we spoke about putting monuments up for the dead, we do not make monuments for the righteous. Because their words are their remembrances. The words of Torah that they left over are the monuments. We don't have to make physical monuments. Now, the Gemara will just bring something that will be related to this. Rabbi Yochanan have a mismach v'ozel al Reb Chiya bar Abba. Reb Yochanan was walking, and he was leaning, he was helping him walk on top of Reb Chiya bar Abba. Now, either it's because Reb Yochanan was a balbasa, he was very heavy, as the Gemara Bracha says, and he couldn't walk without assisting himself, or because his eyelashes were very long, as the Gemara Baba Kama says, and he couldn't see the road, so therefore he was supporting himself on top of Reb Chiya bar Abba. Now, v'hoyer b'liyazah chamileh, b'liyazah saw him, he was hiding, concealing himself from Rabbi Yechanan. The Amman, Rabbi Yechanan said, "Halintarti milayu." There are these two things, Hadin Bavlo Avid Bey, that this Babylonian, a reference to Rabbi Elazar, that he did wrong to me. Chada, one thing is, Delay Shol Bishlami. He's not asking, he's not saying Shalom Aleichem to me, he's not asking how I'm doing. And the Gersa has changed to V'oid, in other words, related to this, is that Mitamar, not only that he's not giving me Shalom, he's hiding from me. Some of the Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Idi said to Rabbi Yechanan, he wanted to be Mephias and he wanted to appease him. He says, Kach Nehigin Gavoin, that's how the Babylonians accustomed themselves. The Ze'ira Leishol B'Shlemid Rabba, that the younger one, the lower stature person, does not ask and say Shalom Aleichem to the higher stature person. The Inan Nogun Mumakamim, because they accustomed themselves and they fulfill the Pasuk and Eiv that says, Ru'uni Na'ar Menechbo, the young ones saw me and they hid themselves. B'Shishim Kamu Amdu, and the elder ones, they got up and they stood up for me. So therefore, the reason why he's not coming to you is because he's hiding, and that is because the Na'arim, he's a lower stature. It's not befitting for him to say Shalom Aleichem to you. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yaakov saw by Rabbi Yechanan that he wasn't appeased with what he told him, and that he was still upset on Rabbi Eliezer. So he switched the topic to something else. But from the response of the question that Rabbi Yaakov asked Rabbi Yechanan, ultimately, the lesson would be taught that it was good that Rabbi Eliezer went and hid himself, as the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Eliezer did properly and that he did, that he concealed himself from him. So he switched the topic over here and he asked Rabbi Yechanan, Mahu lemever kame da dura tzame? What's the halacha? You let her walk in front of the idol Adura, in front of that tzelem. So Malay, Rabbi Yechanan responded to him. He says, Ma'at poligle yaka, why are you giving any honor whatsoever to this Avodah Zarah? And that is regarding you saying walking in front of it. And that is, what's the big deal with walking in front of it? You're not giving any covet. Or another interpretation is that, why are you so afraid to walk in front of the Avodah Zarah that you don't want to walk into it as if you're afraid of it? To the contrary. Avru kama yivasame ene. Walk in front of it and then blind its eye. In other words, walk and you'll see you're not afraid of it. And that, and of course, there's no problem about walking in front of it. Now, once Rabbi Yechanan responded to him that the reason why that there's nothing wrong with walking in front of it, because if you didn't walk in front of it, it would seem like you're afraid of it. Oh, and that Amalei. So therefore he said to Rabbi Yechanan, Yois Rabbi Eliezer Ovid Blei Over Kamach. So he says, you see, Rabbi Eliezer did properly by not walking in front of you, because you see that not walking in front shows a fear of the thing. And that's what you're telling me. Of course, walk in front of the Avodah Zarah, show you're not afraid. So you see that it was proper that he didn't come and say Shalom Aleichem to you, because he was showing that he has yira from you. However, B'yuchanan continued with the second complaint he had against Hahu Bavla. He says, V'oid Oven Habavla. There's another thing, Rabbi Eliezer, that Babylonian did wrong to me. He didn't say over a teaching in my name. And that is, although there's a teaching that I had taught, he didn't say it over in my name. So Nichnasu Lafon of Rabbi Ami Rabasi. So the Rabbi Ami Rabasi came in front of B'yuchanan to appease him and to talk to him, that he shouldn't be so upset on Rabbi Eliezer, so that it shouldn't come out with the following incident, that something, a travesty happened because that there was such a big argument. Amaloi, they said to Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi, Kacha Yemaisa Bebeis HaKnesses Shal Tarsim. There was a certain incident that happened in the shul of the coppersmiths, Beneger, with a bolt, Shiesh Bereisha Gluster. It had a knob on the top of the bolt. That is, they used to put this bolt into the ground to close the door. Now, one end of it was very thick, that was fit to go ahead and to grind garlic. Now, generally, a bolt could be muktza, it's something that's not allowed to be moved. However, it has some type of an element that is some type of a kli, which is the knob at the edge. Shenechaku, and therefore there was a machlekes, we continue on Tamid Beis, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yosi. That is, the halacha was, are you allowed to move this bolt on Shabbos to close the door? Since there are those that wanted to say that it has a status of a kli, a vessel, because that you could use it as grinding something, therefore it's a kli. Another one to say, no, it's a bolt, it's like a part of the binyan, it's usher to move it on Shabbos. Now, there was this big machlekes, achikora sefer Torah b'chamasin, until in their anger, they went and they ripped the sefer Torah. And that the Gemara asks, Karusel Kedaych, would you think to entertain that these big tzaddikim went and ripped intentionally a Sefer Torah? Or rather, the story was Shenikra Sefer Torah, that a Sefer Torah was ripped. In other words, it happened in their heated discussion in the machlekes that a sefer Torah was ripped. And there was one elderly person over there, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma Shemai, and his name was Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma Omar. And he said, in commenting, Timihani, I would wonder, if this shul will not one day be a house for idol worship. And that's based on the Chazal that says, the Kalakayis, whoever gets angry, it's as if he served the Avodah Zarah. So they were trying to say, look, don't be so upset at him, because you see what happens when there's such big machlekes, a sefer Torah and the base of a dezara could come out of it, sefer Torah could be ripped, and then then ultimately a base of a dezara could come from it. However, v'chazav amar, Rabbi Yechon went and responded to them. He says, hechdein mechavre? In other words, what are you proving to me from that story, which was a machlekes between friends, chaverim, to what I'm getting upset at in Belazar, who's my Talmud? And therefore, what could you compare? I'm rightfully upset at a Talmud. Nichnis lefanav Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidis. Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidis came in front of him, also to appease him. Amalei, he said, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Yehoshua. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe abdi. Just like Hashem commanded his servant Moshe. Kein tziva Moshe es Yeshua, v'gem esotu Moshe command Yeshua. And as the pasuk says, over the Kena, so that's what he did. So the question on the pasuk is, it sounds like that is as if everything Yeshua did was what Moshe had said. You think everything Yeshua went and when he sat and he was darshaning and giving shiurim, that he would say, this is what Moshe said? The pasuk makes it sound like whatever he said was what Hashem had told Moshe. But how do we know that? Did he say everything that this was what Hashem told Moshe? El Yeshua, Yeshua b'derish. Rather, what you have to say is, Yeshua is sitting and lecturing. And everybody knows that the Torah that Yeshua got was the Kabbalah that he got from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Afato, you also, Rabbi Yechonon. Eliezer, Yeshua B'Dorish, you're right, Rabbi Eliezer is sitting in Darshanim. V'hakol Yoidin Shatur Shalchohi, but everybody knows that it's your Torah, so don't worry. So, Malahem, Rabbi Yechonon said to everybody else, Neima Einatun Yoidin Lorbatzes Keben Idich Avreinu, why don't you know how to appease a person like our friend Ben Idi that he appeased me? Now the Gemara asked, Rabbi Yechonon, my kuli hai deboy di yimrin shmait mishmei. What was this whole thing? Rabbi Yechonon was so upset, so about Rabbi Loza that didn't say it over in his name. Why did he want that when the halacha was said over, it should be said over in his name? That the Gemara answers, the Av David bikesh alo rachamim. David Hamelech also requested with great mercy that same thing. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, Agura v'alecha ilam. I want to dwell in your tents forever. That I should be protected with the concealment of your wings forever. Now the question is, did it ever entertain the thought of David HaMelech that he will live forever? But this is something that was a gzera of death to all the children of Adam Arishan. So what was he saying that he wants to live forever in your tents? Rather, this is what David HaMelech said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Eske, let me merit. Let my words be said over both in the shuls and the bati midrashas. And that is, in the bati kenesis, let them say over my tehillim, my tefillas, and the beis medrash, let them say over the vaharloch in my name. And that's what he meant when he says, oylamim forever, because tefillah is only chayisha, it's temporary for this world. Torah is chayi oylam, it's eternal. And that what correlates with oylam hazeh and oylam haba. Tefillah is oylam hazeh. And Le'olam is Olam Haba. He was asking to let the sayings be said over in his name, and therefore it's as if he lives forever. Similarly, Shimon ben Nazir b'Shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, he says, "Kol Tamachachim Sha'imrim Dvar Halacha Mipiv Ba'Olam Hazeh." Any Talmudic scholar that they say over a Dvar Halacha in his name in this world, Sivsav Reichashayis Imay Bekever. His lips are moving in the grave. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "Vechikech Kiyein Hatoyb." That and your palate is like good wine, etc. And it says, Daivev Sivsi Yishanim, that the lips of those who are sleeping, which is a reference to those in the grave, are moving. And therefore we see the corollary between Ma Kemishal Nabm Zeh, when we're talking about wine, just like this heated pile of grapes. Kivin Shmanich Adametz Boyalov, once a person puts his finger on it, Miyad Daivev, the whole thing moves. Af Sivsi Yishanim Shal Tzadikim, that's the reference to the other part of that pasuk, of Sivsi Yishanim. So too, the lips of the righteous. Once a Dvar Halacha is said over in the name of these righteous people, their lips are moving with them in the grave, and that's because the light of the Torah that's said over in the name of the one who said it gets connected with the remnants of his soul, and therefore his lips move, because it reaches to the source of the one who was taught from, which is similar like the Kaimer of the Anavim, which the whole thing, the root of everything, moves with it. Now the Gemara asks, Maha Noloi, what is the pleasure for somebody that the Dvar Halacha is being said over in his name, that his lips are moving in the grave? So Bar Nazir Amah, he says, Kadin de Shasi Kunditin, it's like somebody that's drinking Kunditin, which is wine with honey. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar, he says, Kadin de Shasi Chamer Atik, like somebody that drinks old wine. Now, not the Gemara comments that Avagav de Shasi Le, that even though he drank this a long time ago, Taima Bepuma, the taste is still in his mouth. So even though it's been a long time that he passed away, the taste is still there, and therefore that's the hana that the dead tzaddik gets when the Dvar Halacha is being sent over his name and his lips are moving. Now, the Karban Eidah wants to say that the machlekes between these two opinions are that the one that says it's like drinking kunditin, it's that you also have to have had mice and tovim in this world. Like kunditin, not only is there wine, but there's also good besamim there. However, if you just have a Dvar Halacha being said over your name, that would not be enough for this merit. The one that says it's like you're drinking old wine, it always helps having a Dvar Halacha saying over in your name, and the sifsais of his lips will be moving in the kever, even if he did not have maisim tovim in this world. So related to this, Rav Gidl Amar, he says, Ha'emer Shmur b'shem Amar. If someone says over a teaching in the name of the one who said it, Yira bal Shmur kilo omer l'negdi, he should see the one who said it as if he's standing opposite him. Shneva, like it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Ach b'tzelem, but with the image, is halach ish, a man should go. And that's the same idea that when the person is going in Torah, he should have the tzelem of the person who said it. Similarly, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Mishlei, Rav Adam, yikra ish chazda. And the interpretation is, zeshar kaladim, that's a reference to all different types of people. Which Karban Eidah interprets the pasuk of Rav Adam, that the majority of the people, on that the pasuk ends, yikra ish chazda, that the man calls it his own Torah, and he's not particular to say it over in the one who said it. Whereas the pasuk says, "Ish emunim miyimtza, who can find the man of precision?" Zereb Zera, that's a reference to Reb Zera, who was very particular that it should be said over in the name of who said it, and you should have all these components of having seen the person. Dam Reb Zera, that Reb Zera said, "Less non tzrichin chashash and l'shmaite Rav Sheshes." We don't have to be concerned about the teachings of Rav Sheshes. Why not? The Hugavra Mifatcha, because he's someone that's blind, and maybe he wasn't so medactic as necessary. As the Pasuk says, V'hoyu necha reis merecha, you should see the vision, the picture of your teacher. And that the Gemara says elsewhere that the reason why one Talmud Chacham says I was sharper than everybody else was because I saw Reb Meir from the back. And therefore, we find that Reb Zeira was very particular in the components and the different minutiae that go into the precision of halacha, and therefore Reb Sheshu didn't see his teacher. We don't have to be particular. Similar, which is very much related to what we just said, which is the contrast to Shar B'nei Adam, Amalei Reb Zeir L'Rabasi says, Chakim Rebbe, did you recognize, in other words, he's saying an honorific to him, Labar Pasya, to Bar Pasya, Da'at Amar Shmaitim Mifrani, that you're saying over the teaching in his name? And that is, you have to know who you're saying over things. And that's the same idea where, although others just say over other teachings, they say, oh, it says in Svarim, they say, just says things, and they don't say who it is. He was very particular. Do you know who that person is that you're saying it over from? So Malay, so he answered him, yeah, Rabbi Yechanan Amr Mishmei. Rabbi Yechanan said over in his name, who he's a Ish Emunim, that's why I say over the teachings of Bar Pasya. Another time, Amr Reb Zeir L'Rabasi says, Chakim Rabbi L'Rav, do you know Rav, that Amr Shmait Mishmei, that you're saying over teachings in his name? How could you say over things like that? You have to know who the person was, you have to know what he said, you have to say it over in his name. So Amalei said, Rab Adbar Hava Amr Mishmei, since Rab Adbar Hava said over in the name of Rav, that's why I feel comfortable saying over the teachings of Rav. Now, once the Gemara was talking about David before, so the Gemara brings the following drasha. Ein dar she'en b'letzan. There's no generation that does not have mockers and scoffers. However, and on that the Gemara says, and the Gersh has changed from Kederi to Bidari. Bidari shall David, Mahoye Prutze Hadaraisen. As we said, in every generation there are scoffers and laughers and mockers. In the generation of David HaMelech, what were the Prutzim of the generation doing? So Hayaholchin Itzl Chalagnosev shall David. They would go to the windows of David. They would tell him, David, David. When will the Beis HaMikdash be built? When will we go to the house of Hashem? But the truth is, they knew that what Hashem told to David, that David, you're not going to be meriting to build a Beis HaMikdash, only son Shlomo. So they were making fun of David and Melech, saying, oh, David, maybe we can go ahead. When are we going to go to the Beis HaMikdash being built? But Vahaya David, David would say, although I know their intention is to anger me, let it come upon me, which is a term of an oath, if it's not that the truth that I rejoice with the words that they tell me. Tekhsev says a pasuk in Tehillim, "Simachti ba'omrim li." I rejoice when they tell me, "Beis Hashem ne'elech, let's go to the house of God." Although I know that it won't be in my days, I rejoice because I really want it to be built. Also, I wouldn't mind dying, so that the Beis Hamikdash could be built and that there will be a Beis Hamikdash for Hashem. Now, regarding this that David HaMelech said, Hashem responded, "V'hoydi ki yimlu yamecha." It will be that when your days will be completed and filled, then b'shachavta savasecha, then you will go and die with your forefathers. And it's being brought over here for the drasha that although David HaMelech was happy so much that he also wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be built, even to die, however, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not do that. Rather, he said that I want you to live all the days you have to live. And what essentially Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling to David, Yamim Shleim Ani Manilach, I'm going to count full days. I want you to live out your entire life. V'lo Yam Chaserim, and not missing any days. Because klum shleima bin chayiv in the Beis HaMikdash, what is the whole intention, the purpose of your son shleima building the Beis HaMikdash? El hakrav karbanis tibur, so that the karbanis for the people could be brought. However, chaviv alai tzedakah mishpat sh'ata oseh, it's more precious to me, the righteousness, the justice that you do, yesim not karban, more than the karbanis. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, asoi tzedakah mishpat, some of the dust, tzedakah and mishpat, nivchal Hashem izavach. Is more precious, is more appreciated by Hashem than all the karbanas. And therefore, I'd rather you live than the Beis HaMikdash being built. Hanulach Mitzarfen Shkalm, we shall return to you the second Perek Masech Shkalim, Perek Mitzarfen Shkalm. Now we begin the third Perek Masech Shkalim, Perek B'Shleisha Prakam. Now this Perek continues with the halachas of the Trumas HaLishka. How was it that all the new Shkalim that were brought once a year, then they would go ahead and remove parts of that to buy the karbanas of the Tzibur, how that process was. So the Mishnah begins. B'shloisha prakim b'shana Torah b'nes lishka. Three times during the year is when they withdraw from the lishka. And that's where, as we said, that lishka that was a compartment where all the shkalim were. Three times a year is when they take off from it, and that's those three times a year is when they buy the karbanis for the tzibur. What are these three periods? B'preisa Pesach, which are 15, as the Gemara will explain, they're 15 days before Pesach. B'preisa Atzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, and B'preisa Chag, 15 days before Sukkot. And similarly, V'heim Granu Shel Ma'aseh Behema, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Akiva says that those same periods when they would do the Trumas HaLishka were also the times of the periods when Chazal had, when our Chacham had designated the times of when the Ma'aseh Behema, which is every tenth of every animal has to be given to the Kayan, that is when they have to be taken off. That is, once that period comes, 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkot, is if you didn't take off your Ma'aseh Behema yet, you're not allowed to eat it yet. And in the second Perek of Masechtas Becharis, the Gemara explains why it's called Goyrin, because essentially it's not a Goyrin. Gronus is what's usually in the threshing house of grain. But before the Perek, they were allowed to eat from the animals, even though they didn't take off Ma'aseh Behema. The Gemara explains why that is. Why did they designate Ma'aseh Behema specifically at these times, which according to Rabbi Kiva, are 15 days before Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, but that's the same time as when the Trumas HaLishka was. However, there are other opinions that argue when was it that the three times that were in periods when there was the Chiyuv of Ma'aseh Behema were designated. Ben Nazir and Ben Ami says, and the Gemara will explain this machlekes, that Ma'aseh Behema was Be'Esther Metish Ba'Adar, the 29th of Adar, U'Be'Echad B'Sivan, the 1st of Sivan, U'Be'Esther Metish Ba'Av, and the 29th of Av. Third opinion, the Mishnah, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, they say Be'Echad B'Nisan, the 1st of Nisan, Be'echad Sivan, the 1st of Sivan, and Be'chavtes Be'el, and the 29th of Be'el. So everyone is very close, but they're giving different times for these three periods in the year when you then the animals that were born within that time span from one to the next, that you have to take off a tenth of every animal and give it to the Kohen. Now, the Gemara asks on that the Mishnah explains Rabbi Elazar and Shimon's opinion, V'loma Amr B'chavtes Be'el, why did they say the 29th of El as the third period, V'lo Amr Be'echad B'Tishrei? Why didn't they say it as the first of Tishrei like the other ones? We see the first of Nisan, the first of Sivan, then suddenly the 29th of El. Why didn't they say they're the first of Tishrei too? And that they say, Mimneshu Yamtiv, because the first of Tishrei is the Yamtiv, that's Rosh Hashanah. V'yefshala asa b'yamtiv, and you can't take off Ma'isu b'hema on Yamtiv, l'fika chikti muhu b'chavtes ba'al el. And that's why they made it a day earlier to be that third one on the 29th of El. So we have a three-way machlikis regarding Ma'isu b'hema, but one opinion holds, that of Rabbi Kiva, that the time periods of Ma'isu b'hema were the same time periods as when the Trumas al-Lishka was taken off. So now the Gemara explains. I remember Vo. Kol han de teninon pras. Regarding all those time periods that we said that there were half, they were price of Pesach, price of Atzeres, and price of Chag, is palga. The word pras means half. What that means is, what does it mean, half of Pesach, half of Shavuos, half of Sukkos? Palga de lamad yoim koid melamoy tradition melchaysev. It means half of the 30 days of the Yomtiv, which is when they start lecturing about the halachas of the Yomtiv 30 days before. So that's when the Yomtiv is, so to speak, starting. Half of that, which is 15 days before, is when they do the Trumas Halishka. Now, in our Mishnah, we said, Vehein Granis, that according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that was the same time period of the Maisa Behema, Praise Pesach, Praise Atzeres, and Praise Chag. Now, the Gemara asks, why is that? Why are these the time periods, and all the other opinions were also similarly, the same time around, just different dates, why were these the three times? So the Gemara gives a few different interpretations. Rabbi Yechon says, Mipnei Shehein Pirkei Leida, because that is when the animals are born. And that is, the early animals are born before Pesach, the later ones are born before Shavuos, and there are those that are not born until between Shavuos and Sukkos. Therefore, relating to that is when the Chum designated the times of taking off Ma'isa Behema, since that's when the animals are born. Now, from every 10th one, you have to give Ma'isa Behema to the Kohen. That's why it was designated at that time. Second Pshat the Gemara brings, Reb Acha, Reb Tancha, Barachia, B'Shem, Reb Shuma Levi. He says the reason why it was specifically at these times before the Shalosh Regalim is Kadesha Tia Behema Mitsuya Lo'il Regalim, because we want that the animals will be available for those that are coming, Aliyah L'Regel, coming up to Yerushalayim on the three Chagim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And that is, since they're not going to be taking off the 10th of their animals until this time, which is right before the Yomtiv, so then they're going to leave their animals and they're not going to slaughter them until this time when they're permitted to eat after taking off the Ma'isa Behema, which is right before the Yomtiv. So then there's going to be animals for those who are doing Alila Regal, both to eat and for their karbanas. That's why they designated at those times that should be available. Third Pshat the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yudin, Ishlayavela de Bal Ta'achar, so that a person should not come to violate the violation of Bal Ta'achar, of that when there's a designated time to bring your oath that you had taken upon yourself, there's a halacha Bal Ta'achar, you can't bring it later than that. And that is what he's saying, that the same halacha applies to Ma'isa Behema, that there's an Isra Bal Ta'achar, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and that's where they designated that the Ma'isa should be taken off, which there's an obligation of Bal Ta'achar, don't bring it too late after the times of the Yom Tovim of the Ma'isa Behema, that should be right before the Yom Tov, so that people will bring it up to Yerushalayim when they're coming up doing Alil Regal, because they anyways just took off the Ma'isa Behema. Oh, let's take it up to Yerushalayim and bring it to where it has to be brought. As the Gemara says, that Amr B'Yesa, Kalamasha Tivla, whoever goes and holds on to his untithed animals, Oivir B'Bal Ta'achar, he violates this Isra of don't be late in bringing your obligations. And therefore, that's why he said, bring it, go ahead, and we made the obligations right before the Yom Tovim, so that you'll do it and it'll be on hand, on your mind, and you'll bring it up to the Yerushalayim at the time, which then you'll fulfill your chiyuv of Ma'isa Behema. So those are the three different interpretations. Why are these the time periods of Ma'isa Behema? Either because that's when animals are born, so then we do the Ma'isa Behema, or because that's, we want the animals to be available for those who are doing a Lila Rakel, or because then when they took off the chiyuv, they did the Hafrasha, Ma'isa Behema, that then they'll go ahead and bring it and fulfill their chiyuv, and not to transgress the Isser of Bal Ta'achar.